everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on this Friday, June the 9th, 2017. The program re-airs on Saturday afternoon at 4 right here on KVOI. KVOI, of course, 10:30 a.m. We have our live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com. That means that you can go to my website and you can hear the program, or KVOI has the program as well. And then, of course, we have all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, we like to do a thank you to our media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and The Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, the mayor of Saharita is with us, Tom Murphy, and joining me in studio is Dan Scheer, the editor of The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, how are you?
Thanks Doing for great. Being here. Thanks, Bill.
And let me formally say thank you very much for sitting in on four occasions while I was enjoying some time in the South Pacific. Too bad. Mayor, it's good to see you. You were on the program 2 or 3 months ago, and we wanted to have you back. And it's very timely today because your town is officially a few hundred folks larger today.
Right.
Yes. What happened?
Well, and as of yet, it's not official.
Okay.
But we're working on it. There is a great partner in our community called La Posada. They've been there since the 60s, assisted living, memory care. And they approached us. There was a board meeting a couple of years ago, actually, with the previous mayor, Dwayne Bloomberg. And he was just presenting to the board and sort of in jest as he was leaving said, well, if you're ever interested in being annexed to the town, please give us a call. And over the last couple of years, they gave us a call. And it's actually just breaking today. Mm-hmm. And there's a process that you have to go through probably over the next 60 days or so. But we had a great meeting this morning, and we had the ability to let Dan know this is the path we're on, and we're really excited about it. It's going to add about 700 residents to our community, and that will give those residents a voice as we continue to grow as a community. So we're really excited about it.
What would they like to see in return from the town?
Well, there's just a couple of things. Typically, there's a road that is maintained by the county now. We would take over the maintenance of that. And there is a major intersection down there that they'd like to see a traffic signal put in. And, in the scheme of things, you know, having that additional assessed value and having those residents, which really helps on our state shared revenue, because as an incorporated town, the money that flows to you is dictated mostly by your resident population. So the things they're asking are very reasonable and will make financial sense within a very short time.
Dan?
There's also cachet in being associated with La Posada, which is working on a northern community about ready to break ground on that called Nakoma. And as you say, La Posada is very high quality, great amenities, extremely well run.
Yes.
The other thing we would now be providing for them is police
protection.
Protection, right, instead of the sheriff's department.
Right.
Is that going to cost us anything more?
Yes. Right now, Madera Highlands is a community on their southern boundary of the town, which is within probably a mile or so of where La Posada is. So really, it would just be a matter of patrolling a little extended further south. The other nice thing is they are a private community, so they actually take care of all of their own roads. So the extra expenses will be minimal, especially compared to bringing that diversified economy into our town and really diversifying our population and also the assessed value and the state shared revenue. So
where does this place the town now with annexation? How much more can you grow? What potential do you have, and kind of outline for our listeners where you have come,
right,
how far you've come?
Right. Well, right now we're basically 30 square miles.
Okay.
Our northern boundary is Pima Mine Road. Saharita Road cuts our community in half, and then Duval Mine Road. we're hemmed in to the north by the nation, the mines to the west, and then Green Valley to the south. So our biggest opportunity is to go east, and that is what's called the CCAP, Sal Rubita Area Conceptual Plan, East Area Conceptual Plan. And that's 17 parcels of state land that it'll take us a little while, to be honest. We're trying to get them that potential to get annexed into the town, because what makes it difficult, if it's not in your town, it's very hard to justify spending money for infrastructure to develop it and get ready. And for state land, it's very hard because they want you to bring value to the land. So you're a little bit of a catch-22, but we've been working with the state land department for a number of years, and the CCAP plan they did like, and they saw that there was a good strategic plan associated with it. And that's actually what one of the things La Posada brought up this morning when we met. It was really us having a focused strategic plan for economic development and other things that excited them, that they wanted to be part of our community as we grew.
And that will become formal, the La Posada, at your next town meeting?
There's a process that you have to go through. You have to get the signatures of 50% plus one for the landowners, the property owners, plus 50% or more of the assessed value. And La Posada easily makes that up. But you have to go through a whole process that will probably take 60, 90 days to do.
Now, Green Valley is not an incorporated community, but it is a census-designated place, which means it kind of has these boundaries. And now Sarita is reaching into those boundaries and taking La Posada. How is Green Valley reacting?
Well, there's been, I know Kelly, our town manager, Kelly Udall, met with the Green Valley Council. I haven't heard really any negative. And what we want to do, both from La Posada and the town's perspective, is not see it all as in a positive way, because things will not change for a large portion of the residents other than they would be included in our town. So as far as the county and licensing and zip code and insurance and those types of things. So I haven't had a lot of feedback from the residents of Green Valley. I know that will be coming, but we really wanted to send a message that, as I've tried to do for a number of years, that we are really one region. We have about 28,000 residents in our town. On a good day, probably Green Valley is at the $25,000 resident mark. So really, we're an area of 50,000, which really works to our benefit, both Green Valley and Sal Rubita.
The combined population is about 50,000.
About 50,000. So when you're really reaching out to restaurants and retailers and things like that, you really want to have a 50,000 rooftop message, not a 28,000 rooftop message.
What about a super merger between Green Valley and your town, and then you've got 50,000? Would the people of Green Valley oppose that, Dan?
That's a really good question. I think that the people of Green Valley right now are debating roads as much as anybody else is in the county.
Correct.
And they are sensing that the county simply is not going to come through for them, at least on these residential roads, and that maybe incorporation or annexation might look a little bit better. We've been through four incorporation votes in the past.
When was the last one?
2001, and so it's been a little while, and they all went down, and it was very contentious, to say the least. Annexation is very interesting that it's happening, because people who favored incorporation were always saying, you better incorporate or else Sarita's going to come over here and start gobbling you up. I'm not prepared to say that's happening in force right now, and I'm also not prepared to say it wouldn't necessarily be a good thing.
Hmm. And we were going to try to stay away from the word gobbling up. I think of it more as opportunities.
A merger.
I'm not a diplomat.
Something
a partnership between your two communities. Because let's face it, you just said there's like 50,000 people. That would really give you some buying power, wouldn't it, when looking at companies and businesses coming to move there.
Yes, and that's why from an economic development perspective, we really do market our area as one area. But when you have an incorporated town, you have a dedicated staff for economic development, you have a dedicated staff for police department, so you really control 100% of your destiny, where if you're a portion of the county, and I think Green Valley is about 3% of all of Pima County, I think some feel at times it's difficult to have your voice heard. And to the positive, that's why they did form the Green Valley Council, which has been a strong voice over the years trying, you know, to communicate with the county. But when we're successful with this annexation, they'll have 100% of the voice in our community, our town.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, just about exactly 12:15 on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, we will be right back with Mayor Tom Murphy and Dan Scheer right after this.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein, plus our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. The program is Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast and the complete show archive after the last 6.5 years of programs at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tom Murphy is here. He is the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. And the news that we just broke here on the Buckmaster Show is that the town will annex the La Posada retirement community. That should be formalized within 30 to 60 days. Dan Scheer is also here. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Son. Am I mispronouncing Sahuarita?
If you've had a Spanish class, no. It's a Sahuarita.
Okay.
So that's probably the way to do it. And you can get more details on that story on our website this afternoon as we're talking to all the players involved, and we'll kind of figure out, okay, what exactly did this annexation mean to Sahuarita?
All right. A caller during the break wanted the mayor to comment on something called the Sonoran Corridor. Mayor, would you comment on that, please?
Yes. Well, there's two infrastructure studies that are going on right now. One is I-11, which would two ways it could come down is through Tucson or through Avra Valley, and that's the new designation for the Canamex Corridor, which would tie Mexico to Canada. That's one. This the Sonoran Corridor, we had a ADOT session last night within our town, and that's really trying to connect I-19 to I-10. There are a lot of trucks that come up every day from Mexico, and a good portion of them, especially in the produce industry, go east. So right now they have to go all the way up to Tucson and then cut back down I-10. The only east-west corridor right now is Sahuarita Road, and that's through the town. It's residential. It's not really made for that type of traffic. So the region, back to regionalization, between the Tucson International Airport, U of A Tech Park, the town of Sahuarita, Raytheon, the Port of Tucson, really looking at a high-speed sort of connection between I-19 and I-10. So they're right now in an EIS, an environmental study, which will take about 3 years to work through. So again, they came down last night. And we probably had about 50 people attending, yes, which is really good for an outreach effort during the week, during the summer. And there was a lot of interest in what it means, and it's another opportunity that all of us regionally are looking at this as a economic development engine. If you're up in Phoenix and you look at the 101s and the 202s, those types of things, they really started going out in the middle of nowhere, but then they became economic development hubs off of there. So it'll take a while, but if you don't start, there's enough funding to do the EIS study. There is no funding attached to building it. So this is a good time to be talking about it, especially in our region, because we will have a positive impact of it depending on where it goes.
All right, here's Dan Scheer.
The town decided a couple of months ago that it was going to go it alone regarding animal control. It's split with Pima County. All of that starts on July 1st. What have we had to do to get prepared for that, and are we prepared?
Yes. Well, I'll start with we are prepared. We've actually had residents calling us already. The official launch is 1 July. We hired a worker for that animal control officer. The police department, we have a truck outfitted. There's a software that had to be purchased to do the licensing. So the three components really will be licensing, enforcement, and then shelter. And we've partnered with the Humane Society to do the sheltering. And then the license will actually be through our park and rec department. And we actually had people showing up before we were ready to go because
you were open already.
We thought we were open for business, absolutely. So there's a number, 520-445-PUPS, P-U-P-S, that you can call for all three of those, licensing, enforcement, and shelter. So we are ready to go, and we saw this as an opportunity to really provide a high level of service, and that's our desire and our hope, and that's what we're going to be delivering for our residents.
We had your colleague, your mayoral colleague, mm-hmm. on the program yesterday, Dr. Satish Hiremath of Oro Valley. He was talking that they decided to stick with Pima Animal Care Center. So I guess it just came down to an individual taste, in effect.
Right, and I think the different municipalities, depending on how much you're close to mm-hmm. the shelter and those types of things, typically we had 2 to 3 dogs a month. So in the hierarchy of things, we were 1% or less of the total budget and participation. So it's really, I feel it'll be a higher level of service, but we're going to, again, back to incorporation, and you have that control within your own municipality, it'll all be on us. So,
all right. Dan?
A couple of weeks ago, a council member brought up an interesting point, asking what is Sahuarita doing to stay ahead of maintenance issues regarding its roads. And everybody, frankly, is looking at Pima County and saying, we don't want that. The town is now technically almost 23 years old. Some of these issues, I'm sure, are beginning to crop up. What are we doing to get ahead of this?
Yes, and we have been monitoring, and MJ Dillard, our new town engineer, really one of her biggest strengths is transportation and roads, so that was a really nice new acquisition for our town. So she gave us our first road pavement preservation 101 briefing to the town council.
What do the numbers look like?
A couple of, right now we had about $1 million programmed in. And after her presentation, and it depends on what level of quality you want to end up having
right.
for your roads. We have collectors and arterial and residential. And we're, to really stay where we need to be as we work through these things, it was determined we needed to put some more money into it. So our tentative budget, we'll be talking about on Monday night, we're going to move that $1 million to about $1.4 million. And we think that will, as we continue to, study this and make sure that what we decide as a council we want our level of quality to be, this will help us not get behind. So, but Dan, you're right. When you're a new community, obviously you start well, but you really have
to. Yeah, your roads are nice. I mean, I was talking with the Pima County Transportation Director, and I said, what percentage of your roads here in Pima County are considered really bad shape? It's about 64%.
Right, and I think in Green Valley,
higher. So your percentage is going to be just very, very low, I'm sure.
Yes, well, and that's where you really have to stay out in front of it. And it was a couple of years ago when Dwayne Bloomberg was the mayor and Bill Brocker was the vice mayor. They tried within the budget to really put a reserve aside, but what we found out was it was really difficult because you don't want your road maintenance decreasing while you're putting this sort of fund aside to do that. So it was really determined that to really stay up, there wasn't enough money at the time to keep up and put a reserve fund of sorts aside. So we made that determination to invest it into the roads as we're going, and now we're actually adding some more money to it, because that's the one thing you don't want to get behind on, and it's one of our core services, obviously, as a town, is your infrastructure. So it's the one thing, one of the things you really don't want to get behind.
So it would be $1.4 million to patch up, or I don't know if they're in that need patching up, but just kind of maintenance.
Yes, there's different levels. There's fog sealing and chip sealing and crack sealing and mill and overlay. So,
and as Dan said, the town's 23 years old, and some roads probably after 2 years could use a quick patch.
Right, right. And a lot of it is really in Arizona with the sun.
Yeah,
it's the oiling of it. It's keeping them moist, to some degree. So we we're blessed to have MJ there and working on that with us. So I think we're really getting some great advice for that.
Dan, I've got time for about one more question.
Well, I've never seen a community get so excited about a Panda Express before, but it was semi-formally announced that it is coming in. But we have a lot going on down there retail-wise.
Could
you just kind of give us a recap?
Absolutely. And some of it's a little difficult because you learn about these things when they submit for the permitting, but they don't make an official announcement,
right.
And we're under non-disclosures and things. But, there's about 170,000 square feet under construction. Mm-hmm. As Dan mentioned, the Panda Express is going in next to a Fry's gas canopy off of Sowerita Road. That's called the corner. Mm-hmm. And then on the crossing, which is on Duval Mine Road, we have, based on the flyer that the developer is circulating, mm-hmm. PetSmart, Bell's, TJ Maxx, Sprouts, which came first. So, and those are the things that, that would only be probably a third of that mm-hmm. crossing site. So there will be much more to come after that. But we're really excited because, as we were mentioning before, between state shared revenue and then sales tax, we identified years ago we had about 75% tax leakage out of our town. And that's just not good. It's not sustainable to build the next park or pay the next police officer. So shopping local, you know, is a very, I mean, we've covered a little bit of that before. It sounds quaint, mm-hmm. but it's actually financially important to your community not to leave those lose those funds.
Before we wrap it up, any fiestas or anything you want to tell our listeners about?
Yes, thanks, Bill. We have our July 4th celebration coming. We're moving it back to the lake. And we're going to actually this time close.
Fireworks on the lake.
Fireworks on the lake on the 4th of July.
That nice reflection of the
absolutely. And we're actually closing a piece of Rancho Cerrito Boulevard to have food vendors and children's entertainment and activities going on. It'll be from 6 to 9 p.m. And also at 6, the fireworks will be at 8. It's till 10. The fireworks are at 9.
No admission charge.
No, no admission. Okay. And they have something called, we have the float a boat.
Float a boat?
Float your boat. And you design a boat. My daughters did it actually a couple of years ago. Out of, interesting enough, I use my recycled political campaign signs too.
What a great use for those signs.
Yes,
it did not sink.
It did not sink. No. The plastic held up. And we have a race, all in fun with some small prizes. Uh-huh. And it's really amazing the creativity of the different people. There was one gentleman that made this professional wooden boat that really was inspiring.
Wow.
So we're going to have that, and you know, we'll have, and we're also continuing. We had a really successful first Saturday of the month at the lake, a concert series.
Okay.
And we're going to be moving that, continuing that forward into the fall. So first Saturday from August, September, all the way to January 2018. So
I like it, trying to make a community more livable.
Absolutely.
I'm always on board with that. Mayor Tom Murphy, thank you very much
for
coming in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
The mayor of Sahuarita. All right. Dan Scheer sticks around. Tim Steller is going to join us on the phone. Telephonically, he's just too busy with a deadline to come over here. I understand that, but we'll talk to him, get Tim on the phone, and lots to cover here. Again, Mayor, thanks.
My pleasure.
Okay,
thank you.
We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. A Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and Dan Scheer sticks around, and we welcome Tim Steller telephonically with us. Tim Steller, a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you? How's your day going?
Good.
I know you're really jamming. I really appreciate giving us 10 minutes.
Oh, no, 10 is too little. There's too much going on. I'm hidden away here in a corner of the Pima County Superior Courthouse where it's really quiet. I had an employee show me its little nook, and nobody will catch me, and you won't hear a peep.
So what are you? You're in a closet, a janitor's closet, then down
something
there.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
We have a lot to talk about. I've got Rosemont on the table. Dan's going to give us an update on that. But why don't we start with some items from your column, Tim, about, you know, I was watching the McCain during the Comey testimony, and man, Facebook just went absolutely crazy, at least my friends on Facebook, people going, what happened to Senator McCain? I mean...
Well, yeah, it wasn't just social media. I mean, anyone who watched it could see that there was something wrong. He wasn't making sense. He seemed to be trying to make certain points, but even the points he was trying to make didn't really make total sense. So it was natural that people would kind of wonder what was going on with him. I certainly did.
Well, we did get an explanation then. It came from McCain's office in D.C., Dan, and the explanation was that he'd been up late watching a Diamondbacks game.
Yeah,
he was just really tired.
Yeah, maybe I come with a little different perspective here, working with a lot of people in Green Valley who are well into their 80s and 90s and doing just fine, so I'm not quite ready to sound the alarm yet, but it was certainly something to watch.
Yeah, what did...
By the way, Bill, I just so you know, I watched the first... part of that Diamondbacks game.
Oh, you did?
And I find some credibility issues with that claim, because I don't think anyone could have stayed up past the fourth inning. It was so boring, and it was the longest game at Chase Field this year. So,
and you were watching it here in the, I assume, the Pacific time zone. And
right. So he was watching it out there. But anyway, that's the point. Yeah. I mean, Dan's right. We can't jump to conclusions that he has dementia or that he has some condition. It could be he's looked great in other public situations I've seen him in and that he's appeared in. So, I mean, I think it's just more bear watching than anything else.
Okay. Let's go to Rosemont. Let's say, Dan, is Rosemont, first of all, let me say that As long as I've known you, and it's been many years, and as long it seems like as long as Rosemont's, I've known you about as long as the Rosemont thing's been going on, you had predicted right off the bat that, yes, there would be all sorts of obstacles, but you said eventually this thing will get done.
Right, and that's not an endorsement, pro or con here. It was simply that you recognize early on this is not a beauty pageant. This is not a popularity contest. If they can jump over the hurdles that is necessary, and they did one this week, then they will. It'll go forward. Now, nobody was real excited about Augusta Resource, which was the previous owner, because they had never mined anything, and their board had some ties to some strange things going on overseas in mining and whatever. But when Hudbay came in, and they're a well-known organization, and they've got these new mining techniques and whatever, so it's not going to be as bad as maybe we thought at one point it would be. As far as the impact goes, it is still in the middle of this absolutely drop-dead gorgeous area, which kills me. I'm a little concerned about trucks on the road and things like that. But the U.S. Forest Service,
the dust level.
There's a ton of things. Water. Taking out from under Sarita. That's a huge deal with our people. But there have also been some scare tactics out there. This record of decision that we had this week from the Forest Service was actually expected several years ago. So you say, I've been in this area for 8 years, and I met with Save the Scenic Santa Rita's my first year here, and they were already, a couple years into this thing, and this is a very long time to try to open up a mine. It should have been done a lot shorter, but it says that they're giving it due diligence or answering all the questions. I think Tucson demands absolutely nothing less than that, and that's a good thing. So what we're going through here is a very slow process, but it's a necessary and a deliberate process, and that's always a good thing.
What do you think, Tim?
I just think it's really interesting that while it's supposed to be fact-based and kind of politics-free, it's inherently a political process as well. You saw that with Pima County's involvement and different elected officials and agencies getting involved in different ways. One thing I wanted to ask you about, though, Dan, now it's the Army Corps of Engineers that still has a really important decision to make on water, right, Dan?
Correct. That's that 404 permit.
Right. And so that's the one that while other permits are stacking up in their favor, that's the one that still could go against them.
That's going to be the real tricky one for lots of different reasons that we won't get into. But that one, I think, is the one that they would be most concerned about. I think that what happened this week, they fully expected that it would happen. I did. I know that there were some surprises as far as people sounding surprised as far as some of the press releases that came out from Grijalva's office and Center for Biological Diversity and Save the Seeding Santa Rita's. But there really should have been no surprise on this one because, it is a political process in a sense, but when Pima County got involved, they really were a non-player in all of this. I mean, they just kind of just threw it out there. And it was good to go on record that you opposed, and I think people who opposed the mine appreciated that they did it, but it really had no bearing on it. And also, the big question was with Donald Trump in there, is that really going to have a bearing on, the way things go? And I think probably not. I don't know that this is even a blip on his screen. So we'll see what happens. But this water permit is going to be a very interesting process.
And what's the time frame on their possible decision making? What should we expect? Within a year, within 2 years?
Well, the last fall there was a phone call among advisors and others who are intimately involved with the Rosemont mine. And remember, they had they didn't put extra funding into this because they thought over the next 2 years they really weren't going to get much happening down here. I think they did expect this decision this summer, and the other one could be, I don't know what the time frame is, but I know that they expect that they're still not going to be moving any dirt out there probably for another year, maybe 2 years.
And then there will be the legal action. Even if the Army Corps says yes and signs off, they will not, my prediction, they will not be able to start right away because you're going to get lawsuits. Center for Biological Diversity may join up with Save the Scenic Santa Rita.
Huge wild card is that. Yeah. So.
Yep.
and you got the endangered species stuff going on, so there's other issues still there. We're very saddened about the death of, really, he was a media icon in this town. He was around for, I've been in town, be 30 years here next January, and I remember one of the first people I was introduced to was Emil Franzi, and the guy is an institution, was an institution, and I'm really sorry that he's gone. He was on this radio station with his show Inside Track. It was like a Saturday afternoon institution for 12 years. Tom Fairbanks, Tom, open your mic there. You were engineering and producing Emil's show along with Harry Alexander. What can you say about Emil other than the fact that, you know, people may not have liked him personally, but one thing they would always say is he will give you the honest to God truth on what he believes.
Exactly. You know, you might characterize him as having an aggressive personality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was forceful.
Mm-hmm.
In that he wanted to express his opinion. He wanted to get it out there. He thought it was important.
Right.
And so he wanted to get it out there. And he didn't tolerate too much from others, you know, that didn't. It wasn't necessarily they didn't think the same way he did.
Mm-hmm.
Many times it was because he thought that they were not fully involved or didn't know what they were talking about.
Not fully informed.
Yeah.
But, Tim, go ahead. You wrote a little bit about Emil.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's got
I didn't know much. Yeah. I didn't know him well, but, you know, of course, we crossed paths and talked it time to time. I was talking to Ray Carroll yesterday. I didn't realize how crucial a role Franzi had played in Ray's rise in politics. Mm-hmm. You know, Ray won that special election back in the late 90s, and Franzi ran his campaigns. But more important, the way Ray essentially phrased it, was that Franzi molded Carroll as a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And along with Chuck Boden, molded his view of the environment.
Right.
One thing that really sticks out is the strange contradiction, paradox or whatever, in his libertarian leanings, his pro Sonoran Desert conservation activity. I mean, that's the government buying land.
Yeah, know, and the irony about that is Rosemont. Emil was so opposed to Rosemont, and the mm-hmm. irony, Emil passes away the day that Rosemont gets this this approval that may put them on the path to actually moving forward down there.
Yeah, and he wrote for our paper, the Green Valley News, for a couple of years, and I sensed that I kind of missed his heyday, but I most certainly did not miss the spears, which he threw at me with regularity, whether it was through the editing process or emails or phone calls or whatever. But the bottom line was that the guy cared, and he cared mm-hmm. about this community, and he cared about these people and this place. So I always appreciated that and let a little bit of it roll off my back. He will be missed, and I'm glad our paths crossed also.
Yeah, he had that great encyclopedic knowledge of our mm-hmm. political history, going back to supervisors like Ed Moore.
Joyner.
Yeah, Joyner. I mean, that kind of institutional memory, there aren't many in town that still have that, Tim.
Yep, and he kind of wheedled his way into these places too, where he could get in. I mean, kind of in a journalistic way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was both a writer and a political consultant, so he had various reasons for and getting in with different people and learning things and fitting them into his kind of worldview of how Pima County politics worked.
Joe Dreyfus, I think, is on our live line. Hey, Joe, did you want to say something about Emil real quickly?
Okay.
Hey, hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Yes. I would like to compliment Emil in a fashion to you pilgrims. He is one of two people that has moved to the greater Tucson area and totally immersed himself within my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the greatest gifts and enjoyments, knowing the guy and working with him so closely. I'm just heartbroken that he's gone on, but What a character.
And you said he was one of two? Who is
Who's the other
one? Yeah, who's the other one, Joe?
I cannot say.
Come on.
You know, pilgrims are what you are, pilgrims.
Okay.
But he totally immersed himself.
Yeah.
And educated himself about what would be the attitude of the people that have been here for, you know, 100 or so years, the families, the ranching families, the Hispanic families, the whole nine yards, and educated himself. And I just think that's one of the greatest attributes of our friend Emil. And absolutely nobody I've ever met knew more about history than Emil Franzi.
Yeah, of course, his show, Voices of the West, was also a fixture here on the show, on the station, from 4 to 5 after Inside Track. So is Voices of the West, Joe, going to continue?
Yes, and in fact, it is continuing. And, Bill, it's Voices of the West
.net, I think, right? VoicesOfTheWest.net?
.net.
.net.
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, we've got a big celebration of Emil planned for this Saturday.
Thank you, Joe, for checking in.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks a lot. Joe Dreyfus, who is an institution in himself. Joe is, of course, did the visit program here Sunday afternoon at KVOI for a long time, and he's been around forever.
I think he brings up a really good point, Bill, and that is when you come to Tucson, are you willing to jump in and really immerse yourself? I come from the Phoenix area. It is extremely different. It's just night and day, and I have absolutely no intention of going back to the Phoenix area. I tell people, unless God speaks audibly to me, because we absolutely love it down here, but it has its issues, and Emil recognized the beauty, but he recognized that sometimes you have to play hardball to get some of these issues. Taken care of.
And Tim, you're not going back to the Minnesota area.
No, although every year about this time, I start to wish for cool lakes and green trees.
Tim,
we're in good shape.
What's Sunday's column? Can you give us a hint?
I've been digging into the files surrounding the lawsuit, the criminal case and the civil suit involving the former UA track coach.
Oh, yes.
And a former UA track athlete. And I'm digging into some of the issues surrounding the defense and the counterclaim and the civil suit.
All right. I'm out of time, but there's still enough time to wish your colleague, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, congratulations, Tim Steller. Sarah is now officially the editorial director. I think that's the title, right, at the Arizona Daily Star?
Editorial page editor.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Thank you. I knew you would correct me on the proper title for Sarah, but congratulations.
I have to admit, I thought she already was.
Yeah. A lot of people did. All right. Guys, have a great weekend. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house?
Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
All right, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, the mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. We could use a little of that, couldn't we? Cool nights right about now. Great time of year to explore Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. You will find several dozen great recreation opportunities and a like number of places, nice places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now to the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated Tucson foodie, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, sir.
There you go. Everybody's talking about pairings. What's that all about?
Yeah, we on Weekend Watch, we talk a lot about pairings. You know, wine pairing dinners,
yeah.
Beer pairing dinners, even whiskey pairing dinners that kind of match up the flavors of both. But our friends over at the PY Steakhouse over at Casino del Sol, they've taken this idea to the next level with tonight's trumpet pairing dinner. This is a five-course dinner where each course is paired with a different performance by renowned trumpeter Jason Carter.
Whoa.
A thematic thread is sort of going to weave its way through each course and song, making this dinner a full surround sound experience. It's tonight at the PY Steakhouse. And the $85 ticket price, of course, includes wine pairings as well. How fun does this sound, Bill?
Very, very fun. Weekend Watch usually breaks the news of another restaurant opening. We're doing it again today.
We absolutely are. Now, you may have heard that Wilco recently closed its doors over there on the corner of Park and University, but it didn't take long for a new concept to open in that great space. And this weekend is the official grand opening of the Dutch Eatery and Refuge.
Whoa.
This is all about American-style cuisine together with classic Dutch dishes. And the grand opening festivities this weekend include happy hour all day and their traditional bitterballen, a popular Dutch snack, kind of like a beef croquette. I love the looks of their burgers and flatbreads, too, even some fun brunch dishes. So check out the Dutch this weekend.
Speaking of the brunch,
Zona 78 on Tancredi, one of my favorites near Sabino Canyon Road, just launched a new weekend brunch menu featuring classic breakfasts with kind of an Italian twist. Just think breakfast pizzas, a BLT with arugula on ciabatta, some frittatas, mimosas, everything you want. Tomorrow and Sunday from 11 to 2, and all weekend, every weekend at Zona 78.
And in the column this week.
Yeah, well, Bill, I mentioned on your show last week that Charro Steak has named one of its burgers after me. Oh, the honor. And I recently sat down with Chef Gary Hickey to get the full story behind his inspiration for what he calls the Russell Meltdown. It's all in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you.
Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. Original music, theme music by Chris Stefan, a fine young German composer. You can find out more on my website, buckmastershow.com. Coming up on Liberty Watch Sunday, is nuclear terrorism a real possibility in this country? What if an attack is not by detonating a device, but by attack on a nuclear facility and destroying the cooling system? Robert Gleason joins Charles Heller on Liberty Watch, 11 a.m., right after Swap Shop Sunday. Also, a big thanks to everybody here at KVOI and my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, who makes sure all of our podcasts are in order and up in a timely fashion. Tom Fairbanks, thank you for engineering and producing with me today. Great job as usual, and everybody here at KVOI, we all wish you a great weekend. Be with you Monday.